Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for another opportunity the Lord granted me to come share with you today on this Friday. Praise God. A little bit cloudy today, but praise God. We thank God that he has given me another opportunity. This is Friday, 17th day of June. Praise God. We got Father's Day coming up here this weekend, and thank God for the fathers. Praise God. Those men that have stood firm and have been there to take care of their families, lead and guide them in a proper, godly way. We thank God for each and every one of them. Praise God. But I'm Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Once again, declaring unto you that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He is the answer to all of our problems that we're facing today. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Praise God, but all things are possible to them that believe. Praise God. But I do have a word. I have a word from the Lord just for you today. Praise God. If you turn once again to 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, we began this series here, praise God, a couple weeks ago, and praise God, this is just part three. We closing it out, part three today, but I do encourage you to look with me, jot down these scriptures, and later on, go back. As I say, I do believe God is an honorable God. We serve a great God. He's a God that's honorable, and if you will seek him and seek the knowledge of his word, God will impart it to you. I believe he'll open up your understanding more and more, that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be revealed unto you. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're looking again at verses 1 through 4. And it reads, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3, apostle says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures." Let us bow here for a word of prayer. Father, bless you. I thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity that you've given me to come to share your word today. And Lord, I just pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit might go before me, speak through me, and anoint the ears of the hearers today, Lord, that they might hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, I'll be so mindful to give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Now, our subject once again, well, not once again, our subject today is Christ rose for our sins. Christ rose up from the grave for our sins, Paul says, according to the scriptures. And that's our subject. Christ rose from the dead for our sins. Now, again, this is part three. This is our last and final message in this series. And thus far, you know, we've shown you, tried our best to show you the importance of the death, of the burial, and of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as it pertains to our salvation. Praise God. Our salvation and also the forgiveness of our sins. But now also Paul, he takes great pain to inform us. He informs us that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Praise God. Now, this doctrine, he declares, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that he died and he was buried and he rose again for our sin. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, he makes that very plain. Now, all three of these doctrines are equally important. His death, his burial, and his resurrection, all three. And when it comes to the procurement of our salvation, all three are necessary. It's necessary that we understand that all three are participants in bringing forgiveness of our sins to us. That's very important. Praise God. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All three now. All three were accomplished, praise God, on his mission here to redeem us. All three was accomplished. Praise God. He was acting in our behalf. On our behalf, Christ came as our substitute, as our surety, as the prophet says, as our surety. He is our substitute. He took our place. The Bible says he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. But now we're dealing with the resurrection. Christ rose from the grave for our sins, now, according to the scriptures. This is our main focus. We've dealt with his death. We've dealt with his burial. Now we are focusing here today upon his rising up, his resurrection from the grave. That's our focus today. Praise God. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he quoted an Old Testament scripture, most notably Psalm 16:10. He quoted that where King David, he points to our Lord's resurrection, and that's Psalm 16:10. Let's just look at it though. Let me see, can I find Psalm 16:10? David, now Peter quotes him on day of Pentecost. He quoted David, words that David said pertaining to our Lord's resurrection. Let's look at Acts there, where he quoted. Now, we ain't gonna go to Psalm 16, but he quoted Psalm 16 and verse 10. But now look at Acts there, where he quoting this Christ's resurrection on the day of Pentecost there. Acts 2:30. Praise God. And it says, therefore, being a prophet, now David said, me being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul, now David said his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. In that verse 32, it says, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. We all are witnesses. Now, there are many types in the Old Testament there. Remember now, the Old Testament scripture was the only scripture they had, for quite a long time. But there are many types and pictures of Christ's resurrection throughout that Old Testament. Praise God, according to the Old Testament scripture, to be very pointedly, there is Abraham, for instance. You know, we know about Abraham offering up his son Isaac. Everybody is familiar with that. He offered up his son Isaac as he was commanded of God to do. And from the time God first spoke to Abraham to the day he put his son up on the altar and prepared to offer him and was stayed by the angel 3 days. It was 3 days. 3 days between that. And we also mentioned Jonah in, I think, our last message. We're all familiar with Jonah, which was also confirmed by Christ himself. Christ spoke of Jonah's being a type of him himself in Matthew 12. Praise God. We looked at that, I think, on our last broadcast, that is. And he was, but now Jonah was also after 3 days. Remember that? 3 days. Praise God, he was in the belly of that whale, that great fish, the Bible said. We don't know whether it was a whale or a monster, we don't know what it was, but he was in the belly of that great fish for 3 days and for three nights. So now, in other words, what are we saying? There are many types and pictures of Christ and his resurrection throughout the Old Testament. But now, to those believers whom the gospel of his resurrection has been revealed, praise God, to those of us believers now, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to us who it has been revealed, praise God, also has been revealed to us the power, praise God, in the blessings that come with it. The assurance, praise God, has been given to us that when we face this death. When we cross that Jordan River, according to the scripture, praise God, we're going to have assurance. We're going to have a blessed assurance that as Christ rose from the dead, so shall we rise from the dead, according to the scriptures. Oh, praise God. I love that. Now, look at Luke then. If you just look a minute at Luke, I'll copy it down, come back later on, and then kind of look it over again. Look at Luke 20 and 36, where the Lord says, neither shall they, talking about believers, die anymore. We don't die anymore. Huh? After we have trusted in Christ, we die no more. He said, but we're equal. They are equal to the angels at that point. Praise God. And we are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Oh, God, being children of the resurrection makes us equal to the angels, makes us children of God. When we believe in the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scripture. But now, if you look again, look, go to Philippians then. Praise God. We're talking about the resurrection now, the resurrection of Christ as it has been revealed unto us. Praise God. Philippians 3, and if we look at 9 there, look at 9 and 10, just 9 and 10. And it said, and Paul says here, and be found in him. Paul wanted to be found in that day. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. When I stand before God, praise God, when we stand before God, you don't want your own righteousness. You don't want your own resume. You don't want none of that. Your portfolio, leave it at home. Praise God, you don't need it. Paul said, in that day I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith. The faith of Christ, the righteousness, which is of God by faith. Look at that verse 10. That I might, what? Know him. Paul said, I want to know him. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. See, that's power in our knowledge and revelation of this gospel. When God reveals to us the power of his death, burial, and resurrection according to the scripture. Praise God. God gives us power. And that's what we need today in this wicked world that we're living in today. And all of the naysayers and all those who are anti-Christ, anti the word of God, anti-morality. See, immorality is everywhere. We need power so we can stand up to these people and let them know that God is true and every man is a liar. That's what the Bible says. And we believe the Bible. Amen. Praise God. See, God is calling all men today to repentance. Based upon the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's calling men as a result of the resurrection, the finished work of Christ. God's now calling men to repentance. And this, Paul makes it very plain as he preaches to that crowd on Mars Hill there in Rome. He made it plain how significant this resurrection is. Praise God. Look at Acts 17. And 30, Acts 17, and we're going to look at 30 this time. He says, Paul said, in the time of this ignorance, praise God, the time of this ignorance here, God winked at, but now God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Watch this now, to repent. Huh? Because, why? Because he hath appointed the day. God has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man in whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. The resurrection, the closing of Christ's mission now makes it very, very, very necessary that you repent of your sins because the work is finished and next comes the judgment. Amen. See, now God will one day God will judge all men. He's going to judge all men based upon righteousness. Righteousness. Now, our righteousness, not our righteousness, not ours now, but a righteousness which must be equal to that person that God ordained, that God raised up from the dead. If you and when you stand before God, you're going to be judged based on righteousness. Not your own, but the one that God raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a righteousness that meets the requirements of God's holy law and justice. That's what God's looking for. And for 33 years, praise God, Christ walked this earth, and by his perfect obedience, Christ established a righteousness that can never be matched. It can never be matched. Praise God. In his death, burial, and his resurrection, sin reign ended. Sin reigns no more in the lives of those that put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin shall not have dominion over us anymore. Praise God. When we trust in the finished work of Christ, death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, sin can't reign, can't live here no more. Praise God. And through our faith in him, we have his eternal life, his eternal life. Praise God. That's what we have through faith. Amen. Look at Romans 5 there. Romans 5 and 21. Romans 5, 21. And it reads, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. His righteousness. Grace reigning, ruling through his righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a change, praise God, of power here. Amen. Sin don't reign no more in the believer's life. If you say sin don't reign in our lives anymore, praise God. This righteousness, praise God, which gives us his eternal life residing on the inside of every believer. Amen. Again, now, but another blessing that comes to the believer as a result of Christ's resurrection is his daily caring, monitoring, instructing of his children. He's there for us. Praise God. Look at Hebrews 7. Oh, I love it. I love it that we got somebody that looking over, watching over, keeping us. Amen. Look at Hebrews 7, 25 there. And Paul says, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he forever, ever liveth to make intercessions for them. We have someone, he's monitoring our every move. He's leading, he's guiding us, he's instructing us. See, Christ lives forever to make sure that all the benefits of his obedience, of his completed mission, of his successful mission, he lived that all those benefits might be passed on to his children. Praise God. He lived to make sure we're taken care of. Amen. He make intercession for us. But another blessing we receive as a result of Christ's resurrection is found in his exoneration of all of our sins. All of our sins. Praise God. By his precious blood, all of our sins are wiped away. Praise God. Past, present, future. Future. All of them. Amen. Praise God. He didn't just take care of the ones that we have done here recently. All of them. The future ones too. Look at Romans 4, 25. It says here, talking about Christ, who was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our sins. To that cross. He was delivered to the grave for our sins. And he was raised again, the Bible said right there in that 4:25, for our justification. He was raised that we might stand before God justified. Pray that though we have never committed a sin a day in our lives. See, but now, you know, another blessing bestowed upon the believers through his resurrection is a hope. We got a hope that is alive, a blessed hope. Praise God, it's alive. And just as Christ is alive, who lives inside of every believer, then I've got a blessed hope. Praise God, a hope that's alive. Look at 1 Peter 1. My hope, praise God. Look at 1 Peter 1 and 3. Peter says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, he's begotten us unto a lively hope. How did he do it? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, for the believers. Praise God. Our lively hope. We got a great hope. Praise God. We thank God for that. But again, now, let us not forget now what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. I have to keep on emphasizing this because, like I said, there are a lot of false gospels out here today. And there is a multitude of people that are being bamboozled, hoodwinked by this false gospel. But now, the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is it? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures for our sins. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. See, and this he accomplished. Christ accomplished this mission. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrection to accomplish two things in particular. What did he have to accomplish here? He satisfied his Father's justice and brought honor back to his name and is to his word. The same thing. His name and his word. Christ brought honor back to it because he stood his ground here and he never sinned. Not one time. 33 years he lived, but he didn't sin. Not one time. And that brought honor back to the word of God. But number two, what is the second reason? Why did he die? Why did he go into the grave? Why did he rise again? For a special people. Oh boy. Thank you, Lord. A special people that was given to him by the Father from the foundation of the world. All Christ wanted for embarking upon this great mission was to have his family. He wanted him a people. Look at John 10 there. Stay with me now. Look at John 10. John 10:28 there. Praise God. The Lord says, I give unto them. I'm talking about the believers. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Get a hold to it now. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who gave them to me. Yes. Mm-hmm. The Creator, the Sovereign God, gave me to Christ. I am a child of God. He said, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. That's the security of God's people. I'm talking about the people that Jesus died for, bled for, was whipped and black and blue for. Praise God. But look at John 17. Look at John 17. Move on over a little bit. Look at 17 and 12 there. Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, talk about people now, a special people, a sanctified people, a holy people, those whom thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them are lost. None of them are lost. We wasn't lost when he was here. We weren't lost when he went back to the throne of God. And we're not lost today. We're not going to be lost. When you save, you save, and you're not going to be lost. But I know there's a false gospel out there. Oh, God, there's a false gospel being preached today that says those for whom Christ died and was buried and rose again can lose their salvation. Oh, yes. They're out there. They are out there. In other words, what they said, when Christ said it is finished, what they're saying is that Christ lied. They say it's not finished. This false gospel I'm talking about. This false gospel versus the true gospel. This false gospel being preached today says, in addition to having faith in Christ, you must be baptized in Jesus' name. That's what they said. You got to dress a certain way. You can't dress like you got to cover up. You got to speak in tongues. That's another gospel. You got to do all this. You got to attend a fellowship with a certain name on the marquee, on the door there. You got to do all this in order to be saved. In other words, they're saying it's not finished. It's not finished. They added two. It's another gospel is what it is. Amen. Well, look at Romans 6 then. Look at Romans 6 and we're looking at 4. And the apostle said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. Yes, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. A new life. We walk in a new life. See, in Christ we have a new life. We have a new existence from above. A new, not of this earth now. Not of this earth. From above. The new life is nourished and sustained from the power that is above. Praise God. This false gospel, these false prophets, and praise God, all these motivational speakers. See, they spend their time, listen to me now, they spend their time telling the people how they can improve their old life. Disregarding the fact that the new life that we have, praise God, it don't need no self-improvement. It don't need no motivation. It don't need any financial advice. It needs no how to succeed tips and stuff. It don't need that. See, when we died and rose with Christ, we rose to a new life. A new life. Leaving that old life behind. All our old dreams, all our old aspirations, our old goals and our old future plans, they died with that old man. They died. But the false prophets today, praise God, they preach a gospel. They preach a gospel that centers around our old life. This is what they preaching. See, it's another gospel. They ain't dealing with a new life. They trying to tell you how to improve your old life. Why? Well, because that's all they know. They don't know nothing about the new life. They know the old life. So they minister from the standpoint of improving your old life. And they know that. They know that. That's all you know. You that sits out in the audience, that's all they know you know. That's why he gives you instruction how to improve the old life. He don't know the new life. Praise God. And he know you're going to pay handsomely for that information on how to prove the old life, which is not important to God at all. It's supposed to be dead and gone, but he's telling you how to improve it. How to make your old life better. Because he know you'll pay. And you do pay, don't you? You pay handsomely. Praise God. You pay handsomely for that. Amen. And that that the fact that you can improve your life. Just think about that now. They telling you how to improve your old life. The new life don't need no improvement. So what is he tell? What is he tell? He's trying to resurrect the old life. Praise God. See, and I say all the time that there's only two religions, and I hate to use that word religion, because Christianity is really not a religion, it's a relationship. But basically, there's only two religions in the world today. Always has been, just two. Works, just works for your salvation. A work salvation or salvation by grace. And these so-called motivational speakers and preachers and prophets, they are dealing with how to work it out, how to work and improve that old life, which according to the gospel should be dead. See, when we die naturally, we leave everything behind. Am I right about that? We leave everything behind. Old things pass away. All things become new. We leave everything behind naturally when we die. We even detach ourselves from ourselves. Praise God, we just cease to be, don't we? We just plain old cease to be. And so it is. So it is with our spiritual transition, our spiritual life. Old things pass away. Praise God, all things become new. Look at Colossians 3 there. Colossians 3, yes, there's only one gospel. But I know there are many gospels that have been passed around today, but it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 3:1. Let's find it here. 3:1. If, watch it now. Look at what the verse 1. If, Paul started out with if. If you then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above. That's the gospel. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Not, listen to me, watch it, watch that other gospel, not on things of the earth, improving your life that you've been dreaming about, improving your financial status, not on things of the earth. For you, verse 3, for you are dead. You're supposed to be. That's another life. You are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. You are dead. Your dreams, your aspirations, those things that you've been thinking about all of your life, now you got saved, that's gone. It's over. Amen? But true believers now, true believers, we don't need no false prophets and motivational speakers. True believers, I'm talking about, we need to be told to act like who we are. Praise God. Act like who you are, son. Talk like who you are. Amen. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You don't need no pep talk here. Praise God. It's a done deal. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Amen. Praise God. Look at Romans 6. I love it. I love it. I really do. I just love it. I just love this word. Oh, there's new life in me. Love this word. Amen. Romans 6:11. Listen to what the apostle says here. Likewise, reckon. Watch that word now. There it is. You got to get it. Get it. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Key word. Key word here is reckon. Reckon. And right now you may be asking, you may be saying, how can I reckon myself to be dead when so many things seems to be bombarding me and trying to pull me back to the old life? How can I reckon myself to be dead? Well, the word reckon means to consider. Consider it done. Consider, you're dead. Consider it. Regard yourself as being dead. It's done. It's finished. Consider. Reckon. Reckon yourself. Is that what the apostle says? Reckon. Proverbs 23:7. You don't have to turn there. 23:7 says what? As a man thinking in his heart, reckon. So is he. Proverbs 18 says death and life is in the power of the tongue. To speak life, more life to that new man, energize that new man. You don't speak no life to that old man, but that's what they're telling you. Speak life. You ain't even been saved. You don't even know the Lord. He's telling you to speak some life. So what you doing? You're giving power to the dead man. Yes. See, if you're really saved now, listen to me now. If you're really saved, if you're really raised from the dead with Christ, if you're really right now are sitting under these false prophets, motivational speakers, preaching this false gospel to you, telling you that you can be what you want to be. You can have your dreams come true. You can be rich. And you can be prosperous. If you're sitting under one of these kind of men, then what he's doing is feeding your old life. You've been dragged back into the grave. You've been dragged right back to your old life. That's what's happening to you. Now listening to these dead speakers, you're reckoning your old life to be alive. Which is keeping you from becoming the overcomer that God says we are to be. Amen. Praise God. But now, honor the gospel of Jesus Christ. We receive according to the reckoning of our faith. As our faith reckon, consider it to be done. done is so. I'm what God say I am. I'm who God say I am. When we reckon, praise God, when we receive according to the reckoning of our faith, we receive the blessings of the gospel. The blessing of God. But first, we got to surrender ourselves to Christ. Yes. And then reckon ourselves to be dead, buried, and resurrected with him. That old ghost. And I ain't talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the ghost of that old life, our old life. He's being raised up and energized by these false prophets, motivational speakers that many of you are listening to every Sunday or every day since we got so much on the media. You're listening to him fatten a frog up for the slaughter. You listen to the devil, actually. Satan is using these motivational speakers, these false prophets, have it and grab it and all that old kind of stuff. He's using them, whether they know it or not. God, the devil is using them. He's using them to conjure up your past, your dead past, both be dead, your dead past, your dead dreams, your dead aspiration. He's conjuring them up, which for the true believer now, those things have passed away. They gone. We don't want to hear nothing from the old. We don't want it. We got a new life. But this is the great deception perpetrated upon the believers and church folks today around the world, each and every day through the media. Great deception that's stunning the growth of true believers today, stunning their growth. And fooling church folks into thinking that they can have what Christ called the children bread. It's not right. It's not meat, Jesus said, to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Now, that's what the Lord says. Praise God. But this is what the motivational speakers tell them, that they can have what they say. Praise God. They can have the children's bread, is what they said, when they never died, they never were buried, and they never rose again with Christ. That's the gospel. They hadn't heard it. They hadn't received it. They hadn't experienced the gospel. But to you that are true believers today, when my old thoughts, and they do, my old fleshly feelings began to whisper in my ears, I just say very loud, I'm dead. I am dead. That old man is dead. Praise God. It's Satan trying to give life to our dead men when he began to whisper in our ears. But don't give place to the devil. Praise the Bible. So we don't give place to that old scoundrel. Rebuke him. Ignore him. Praise God. Our reckoning ourselves to be dead with Christ will reflect itself in our reality, our daily reality. But you got to reckon, consider by faith. By faith, amen. And it will reflect itself in our realities each and every day. Now, as I close for today, this series, we close out this series, let us who are true believers, if you're a true believer in Christ, remember now that we are risen with Christ. We have been raised with Christ from the dead, resurrected, praise God, from the grave, a grave of nobody, resurrected from the grave of nobody. We're resurrected from the grave that we, in that right now, we are sitting with him in heavenly places. But hallelujah, I've been resurrected from the grave. And now I sit with him in my spirit and soon to be with my body. Praise God. Heavenly places. In heavenly places where I don't mind. In Christ don't mind. You reckoning yourself to be just like him. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word today. Now, Lord, I pray the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as you have moved in my heart, move upon the hearts of every ear that hear this word today. Oh God, and we'll give you all the praise, the glory, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you like this video, go over, hit that like button over there. And praise God, hit that subscribe button and hit the bell over there. And when we come again, we don't know exactly when. We just got to sit before God now and see where do we go from here. But we will come again. If God keep me alive for another day, we'll come again. We'll bring you another word. But remember, we're also on Sermon Audio. Praise God, James Ansby, Sermon Audio. We own Jesus the Answer on that YouTube, and we own Facebook also. Praise God, James Ansby. You can tune in. We have over 500 different podcasts that you can tune in, and you're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But until that time, may God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. Amen.